This morning, we are talking, we're in our second Sunday of our sermon series, hashtag family. And I gotta do that. I hang out with too many youth where they just go hashtag. And it's like, this makes like a number sign. So in case those of you who are beyond that phase and you're wondering, what is she doing? Hashtag family. Now, last week, Pastor Mike talked about the ideal family and the fact that the ideal family doesn't really exist. We like to think we have this aspiration of being the ideal family, but it doesn't really happen. Something always happens to wreck our ideal family. And so we looked at the life of David last week, and wow, did he ever mess things up? And yet God, in spite of David's mistakes, used him in a powerful, powerful way. And so this Sunday, I get the privilege of talking about three things my mom taught me growing up, because we believe God created families for us to experience his love, right? Exist to glorify God and to proclaim his love for us. That's why we are in family, so we can truly experience the fullness of God's love for us. So we have a deeper understanding of who God is. We experience that in your family. And you're thinking, not my family, right? Because maybe your family isn't really godly or isn't expressing God as you would hope they would. And so one of the things God actually entrusts to parents is this verse from Deuteronomy. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, while you lie down and when you get up. So that's one of the things God entrusts to parents to do, to impress them, all right? To impress upon your kids the things of the Lord and to teach them as well. So there's an action part and there's a speaking part. It's both and parents are supposed to do that for their kids. Speak them the truths of God and teach them the truths of God. Now, my next slide says this. You might be thinking, I haven't learned anything from my mom, because maybe you aren't in a good place with your mom. Maybe your relationship with your mom is not the best. And so I want to encourage you to do this. Just don't tune out. All right? I said last week, because so often, as soon as we start talking about family, people just zone out. They're like, I don't like my family. I didn't learn anything from my family. I don't want to talk about my family. My family was awful. If I could just forget about it. Or you say things like, it will never change. I specifically said last week, it's not about pointing your finger or shoving this, your elbow, into the person beside you. It really is about focusing on your own heart and what is God calling you to. Because you will be the change agent in your family. As soon as we start saying, well, as soon as this changes, as soon as this changes, then everything will be good. No, you are the change agent in your family. You are. All right? So stop. If you're a finger pointer, put those things back. But don't tune out. And I say that because I watched God heal the relationship between my mom and myself in an amazing way. From the point of, and you've watched me on this journey. All right? You've watched me on this journey. In the beginning, I loved my mom because that's what you're supposed to do. See, you're all laughing because you know. But now, as I have surrendered my life to God, as I give over every single conversation, as I give over every single interaction, as I pray the prayer, dear Lord Jesus, help me to love my mom the way I am supposed to love my mom. I give it to Jesus, and I ask him to help me love her well. And as a result, things change, and I think it's my mom changing, but really it's my own heart changing. And that's something that we have to be mindful of, because you can say, well, if they would just change, quit giving the responsibility of change to other people. All right? We need to change our own hearts first, make sure our own attitudes are in right relationship with God first, and then let him handle the relationship aspect of it. But we have to be in right relationship. And so, yes, that was Christmas when I was 2. And that second picture is on Christian Island, because one of the things Mom and I like to do together is vacate. And so we are going on vacation today. We are flying out to Calgary. We're going to drive through Banff, Jasper, Edmonton, and we're going to fly to Yellowknife, because between Edmonton and Yellowknife is a whole lot of Northern Ontario, right? So that's what it looks like between Edmonton and Yellowknife. So I'm like, I've been to Northern Ontario. I know what it looks like, so why do I need to drive through it? And you can't drop a car in Yellowknife. So I would have to drive through and drive back. And I'm like, really? Let's just fly. So I have come to thoroughly appreciate my mom, and I don't think I could have preached this sermon even last year. I've watched God do a tremendous work of healing and reconciliation, and not, she would have thought there was nothing wrong, but I knew my own heart. I knew my own heart, right? And so I want to talk today specifically on how, what I've learned from my mom. So the first thing is this: God first. That was my mom and dad's engagement photo. Like back in the day when you got engaged, you put it in the paper. That's a newspaper. It's made of newsprint. It comes in the, you know, every day. Greg reads his every day. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. But for those of us who don't get newspaper, that's, and it was, yeah, that was 1965. And one of the things that Mom taught me was you put God first. And this morning I said to her, Mom, what's your favorite memory verse? And she said this. She said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, yes, she speaks in King James, she does. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that was the verse that came out of her mouth, was when you put God first, he's going to take care of everything else. And I watched this time and time again, as she chose to put God first. I just, not that we had a charmed life, and you're going to hear more about that, but I just watched peace. I watched just the way things would work out. I watched a faithfulness in her grow. And specifically in relationships and money, she taught us how to put God first. In fact, she dated my father for 6 years. And it wasn't because they didn't want to get married. It's because they couldn't decide where to go to church. And until they decided where they were going to go to church, she was not going to marry him. That's how important it was. And I say that, and I believe it. If you can't decide that before you get married, what makes you think you're going to decide it after you're going to get married? And so for 6 years, they had this ongoing discussion of where are we going to go to church? And so finally, Dad said, I'll go with you to the Free Methodist Church. And she said, check. And they got married. But that was important because she knew how important it was for a man and a wife, a husband and a wife, to go to church together and the example that it would set for their family. And then secondly, with money. Mom, from the time, I can't even remember a time when she didn't do this, she faithfully gave to the Lord. 10% at least is what she gave to the Lord. She would write out her check, put it in the envelope, and set it out every morning, whether she was going to work and we would have to take it or she would take it herself. 10%, at least 10%. And she would say this, well, the Bible says so. Says so in Malachi 3 that we should bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And so I remember coming home from my first babysitting job. And she looked at me and she said, so you're going to tithe tomorrow morning? And I was like, but my first paycheck, Mom. And she said, God first. When we put God first in our finances, you don't need to worry about anything else. And I have watched her success. Like this promise in Malachi, she claims all the time. When we give our full tithe, God looks after the rest. And it's just so cool to see that blessing in her life, like time and time again, so that she can be generous to other people. And so that was the first thing she taught me was you put God first. Put God first in your relationships and God first in your money. And we had one of those conversations last summer, you know, kind of like the sex talk that you really don't want to have with your parent. I'm like, why am I having this with her now? Like, anyhow. So she's like, I don't even know how we started talking about it. But she said, no, your father and I were both pure before we got married. And what a wonderful gift that was to give to each other. And I'm like, I didn't really want to know that, but I'm glad I know that. But thank you. Like, what a wonderful gift for two parents to give their kids of purity. And I know we're not all there. I'm certainly not there. But what a wonderful gift to hear that my parents loved each other that much, that said, you know, we're going to wait till we get married before we have sex. And that's one of those things in this culture where we just don't talk about. And yet when we choose to put God first in our sexual lives, then things just work out better. There's less baggage that you're carrying into your marriage. So God first. God first in relationships, God first in money. The second thing my mom taught me was be willing to change your mind. And that's her on her bike. And one of the verses I often think about my mom, because she's kind of like me, you have to let things sit with her. So if you tell her something, she immediately says no, and then she comes back to you and says, well, remember how you said that? How about I say yes? I'm like, okay. So this is the passage that I often think about when it comes to my mom. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. And Jesus goes on to say he had a second son, who he said, will you go and work for me? And the son said, yes, I will. And then he didn't. And he asks those who are listening, so who obeyed his parents? And the answer is, well, the one who went. So even though he said no in the beginning, he changed his mind and then he went. And as I think about my mom, I've watched her change her mind over the course of her life in a couple of things. To be exact, pray, forgive, and release. I'm a pastor. I know for some of you, you're like, really, Jen? We knew that. And so for some reason, people often think that I have the corner on prayer, right? So it's like, could you just pray for me? Could you just pray for my family? Could you just, and I remember mom calling me and we having this conversation about one of our cousins, and she's like, he's really sick. He just needs the Lord. Could you pray for him? I'm like, mom, I don't even know who he is. That'd be weird. Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I'm Mita's daughter. She told me that I should call and pray for you. I said, Mom, you pray. Oh, you pray so much better than I do. I said, Mom, you know him. You have the relationship with him. You call him. She hangs up. I get this phone call 5 minutes later. She's like, I called him, and I prayed for him. I'm like, well done, Mom. Good for you. And I have, in various conversations, Mom and I will get talking, and she'll say, I prayed for this person. I prayed for this person. I prayed for this person. And I've watched her grow in this. I've watched her change her mind from, I can't pray, or I won't pray, to I can pray, and I will pray. Because she's the one that has the passion for them in her heart. So I'm like, Mom, you pray for them. Pray for them in that moment. And so she has forgiveness. When my mom was young, she was bullied badly. And because the justice in me wants to rip those faces off. She would come out of school and they would throw rocks at her. You saw the bike, and she would be riding her bike, and they would stick sticks. Anyways, so bullying was a part of her life. And about 2 years ago, we're driving along, and she says to me, and I don't even know where the conversation came from, but she says to me, you know what? I was listening to Corrie Ten Boom this week. And Corrie Ten Boom is a Holocaust survivor. And she said, you know, Corrie was speaking in church, and there was a guard there who was part of her imprisonment. And the guard came forward, and he said, would you forgive me? And Corrie Ten Boom did, even though it was hard. And this is what my mom said next. She said, if Corrie Ten Boom can forgive those people, then I certainly can forgive the people who bullied me. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, can you just say that again? Because here I've been waiting to hear my mom say that she's willing to forgive. And when things happen in people's life, sometimes it can be so hard to forgive, especially when you don't know why people are motivated to do the things that they do. But I watched her forgive them. And that was one of the most powerful moments in my life with my mom. Right up to this next one where it says release. When I left my previous church, I had the opportunity to go to England. And as a parent, part of your job is to raise your kids. The second part is to release them. And I said to my mom, I need you to bless me, and I need you to release me. And she said, I can bless you, but I can't release you. And then I looked at her and I said, well, then I'm not going. Because I certainly wasn't going to go unless my mom could release me. And so we sat at the table and we looked at each other. And I'm probably just as stubborn as my mother. And then she said, all right, I'll release you. And that has changed our relationship in so many really cool, amazing ways. Because she was able to let me go. She was able to trust God that he was going to look after me. But all these things are processes. I watched mom go from no, 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 to yes, yes, yes. Because she was willing to put God first in those areas. So this leads me to the third thing that I've learned from my mom is don't give up. The other word would be perseverance. Perseverance, this idea of keep moving forward even though it's tough. And when my mom, what is the verse that I have in there? It's from Romans. It's not Malachi 3:10. It's actually Romans. It's James 1:12. Blessed is the woman who perseveres under trial, because when she has stood the test, she will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. My mom was the oldest of three siblings. When my uncle was 19, he died of a ruptured appendix from mono. That radically changed her family because her parents didn't know how to deal. Her parents just didn't know what to deal with that. How do you deal with your 19-year-old son who dies of a ruptured appendix or ruptured spleen? And she had to choose to keep moving forward. She had to choose to persevere in that. She had to choose to continue on with life. And then at the age of 38, her sister died of ovarian cancer. And so here she was, an only child, because two of her siblings had passed away. And she knew, she even said to me this morning, she was like, there was no other choice. You just have to keep moving forward. Well, then she gets fired from a teaching job after she had taught for 17 years. So she had to figure out how to keep moving forward. And what's interesting is she's like, you know what? That was probably one of the best things, most hurtful things that could have happened to me, because I got to become a healthcare aide where I met so many wonderful people. And I loved it. Sometimes we don't see the stuff that happens in our life that God can take it and work it together. But he does, and I've watched him do it in my mom's life again and again and again, because she chooses to put him first. And then this one that is up there, unmet expectations. And you've heard my story with my sister. No mom expects that their daughter's going to run out in front of a car, get hit, and have a life-altering brain injury for the rest of their life. No mom does that. And so she had to figure out how to keep moving forward. I never once saw my mom prolonged in bed. I never once went hungry because she couldn't figure out how to get up and keep moving. That doesn't say there wasn't stuff going on in the inside of her, but she chose to keep persevering, to keep trusting God, even when it was really, really hard. When my aunt died, when her sister died, my uncle met a wonderful woman, but it was too soon for my mom's liking. And he called on the Sunday, probably within a year of my aunt's passing. And he said, I've met someone new. And my mom was so upset. And my dad got us ready and was taking us to church. And because mom said, I can't do it. It's like she had drawn in the line in the sand. So, like, her brother had died, her sister had died, my sister had been hit by a car, her father had actually died at this point in time, and it was like she was drawing the line. And this is why husbands are so important. My dad took us outside, got us across the road. He turned around, he came back, because the church was across the road. There was no reason why I should be late, but I was late all the time. He comes back and he said, is that the example you want to set to our kids? That when life gets hard, we give up on God. Mom went up, got dressed, went to church. Because she knew she needed to put God first, even when it was really, really, really tough. And the cool thing about all of this is I have watched my mom grow in her way, in her relationship with God. She'll say things like, they just really need the Lord. I'm like, okay. And then she'll start praying for people. She'll start praying for people. And she wants people to come to know Jesus. And she wants the Lord's church to be full of people who are worshiping him. And even this morning, she's talking to me about how God works things together and how we don't know. And the best thing about that, hashtag, my mom is growing in her faith, is that I grow in my faith. When my mom grows in her faith, I grow in my faith. Moms, I want you to hear that. As you continue to grow in your faith, your kids will grow in their faith. I want to encourage you just to keep growing, even when it's really tough. Keep growing, because we, even as adult kids, need to see our moms growing in the Lord. To hear that the God that they served when they were younger is still faithful today. Which is what Ruth Ann said. She said, we're going to sing songs about God's faithfulness. And so my mom, praise the Lord, is still serving him after 78 years of life. Because she's chosen to put him first. She's chosen to keep moving forward. And she's chosen to change her mind and allow God to work in her life. And so while we might not have the ideal family, because now it's just my mom and me, wow, God can move in that when we surrender it to him. So how do you respond to this? Well, the first question is this. What is your attitude towards your mom? Is it a good attitude? Do you have a good relationship with her? Or do you need to be saying, Dear Lord Jesus, would you heal my relationship with my mother? Would you touch my heart? Would you teach me how to love my mom well? Would you bring healing there? Or maybe you need, okay, number two, what do you need God to heal in your relationship with your mom? Or if you're the mom, what do you need God to heal in your relationship with your child? Because maybe you know things are not right. And so moms, I encourage you to say, okay, dear Lord Jesus, how do I love my child well? What do I need to make right in my own heart in order for you to move and reach my child? And the third thing is this, how can you thank God for your mom? So I have no idea where your relationship is with your mom, but there is quite possibly something that you could give thanks for her. And so as we say that, the prayer rails are available. This is our response time. And how do we respond to this? And we simply, by an act of coming forward. And the way I look at it is like, okay, I'm serious about this. I'm willing to step out and say, yeah, I need some help. And that doesn't mean your life is falling apart. It just is an acknowledgement of, okay, God, I'm acknowledging I need some help in this. And then your church family will come around you and pray for you. Or maybe you want to come forward because you have something else on your heart that you just need help with. You want to meet with the Lord. God said that he would meet with us when we would seek him out. And prayer is one of those areas where we meet with the Lord when we seek him out. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of the stepping out this morning. because God has wonderful relationships in store for you. He is the healer. He is the redeemer. He is the encourager. He is the strong tower. But we need to be willing to step out and say, God, I need your help. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for my mom and how you have brought healing into that relationship. And for that, I am truly thankful. And Lord, I realize that that might not be the same for every single person here. For some, they are like, wow, amazing friendships with moms. And that's great. And we give thanks for those relationships. Lord, we ask that you would protect them. And Lord, for those that are just really struggling in their relationship with their mom or in relationship with their child, Lord God, we ask that you would bring healing. We step forward and we say, God, we need your help. Change my heart. Change my heart. Help me to love. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Help me to forgive so that you can bring the healing that we need in our relationships with our mom and with our child. And Lord God, thank you so much for your faithfulness at stewarding relationships. And so, Lord, we invite that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our families so that we can experience your fullness. And I pray this in your name. Amen.